are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Tuesday edition of Locked On Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your host covering your New Orleans Saints every single Monday through Friday. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market with new flavors available now. Go check them out at BuiltBar.com and be sure to use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off of your first box. We're going to be changing gears a little bit for today's episode because we're starting off talking about the Superdome. Mercedes-Benz and their naming rights are up in 2021. So who becomes the next naming rights company for the Saints home field? We'll talk about the Forbes article that dropped this morning that shares some of the exciting things that New Orleans has in mind for its next partner. Then we'll get into some good news for the return of sports as two major cornerstones in the country have announced return dates. We'll talk about when that might happen and what it might look like. And then we're going to wrap up the show today with our Twitter Tuesday segment, your questions from Twitter answered here on the show. We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The New Orleans Saints are already on the hunt for the next Superdome naming rights company and have shared some exciting details about the potential partnership. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. The longtime partnership between the City of New Orleans and New Orleans Saints and Mercedes-Benz is finally about to come to an end after this 2020 season, and the Saints are already looking for their next naming rights company, sharing some exciting details in a few press releases from the team. Mercedes-Benz and their contract ending in 2021. The Saints, very little interest in maintaining their naming rights after they also purchased the naming rights of the new stadium for the NFC South rival Atlanta Falcons. Now, according to this article posted on the Forbes website, the Saints are maintaining right now some of the highest marks when it comes to not only fan experience and fan passion, but also some other metrics such as organic mentions on social media. They're 27% higher than the league average. They also have a 78% positive feedback rating from fans of the team, which is 51% higher than the average stadium. Think about that. That means that the average stadium only has a 27% positive feedback rating, while the Saints and the Superdome have a 78% rating in the same category. According to Forbes, the Saints have the third most passionate fan base, the best fan experience, which was for the third year in a row. They three-peated the fan experience rating, including some individual metrics such as placing first in net prompter ratings, first in game entertainment, first in mobile ticketing, and first in player intros. Now, the Saints want more than just money out of this partnership. This partnership for naming rights doesn't seem to just be about the paycheck for them. It's also about community partnerships across the Gulf region, not even just in New Orleans, which of course is always going to be very important, and the Superdome is going to hold a very special place for all of us. However, they're wanting to show a bit of a regional impact with this partnership, including some hurricane preparedness parties to make sure that everybody that shows up ends up leaving with a hurricane preparedness kit, an emergency preparedness kit, at right ahead or at the top of hurricane season as it rolls around. They also have a pretty incredible zero net energy initiative that they're wanting to roll into as well, which would include the idea of trying to generate energy that ends up powering the Superdome by fan games that fans are able to go out and play in different concourses and parts of the stadium. The goal being toward this year, starting something like that, or you could probably now with the pandemic say the 2021 year, and then gather as much of the ratings as they need so that by the time that the Saints host the Super Bowl, which was originally positioned for 2024, but because the Super Bowl weekend and Mardi Gras will overlap with one another, it very likely will mean that the Saints will host either the 2025 or 2026 Super Bowl, that by that time, they'll have a zero net energy in the first ever zero net energy Super Bowl that's completely sustained on its own, reducing the energy sort of footprint, if you will, throughout this initiative. They also are looking for, and this is from directly from the press release, they're looking for partnerships in education, innovation, environmental stewardship, world-class recruitment, and sustainability with this partnership as well. So this is more than just about the money. They're wanting to make a big-time impact with whoever that new partner ends up being coming in place of the soon-to-be-expired contract, $50 to $60 million contract, by the way, that was signed signed now nearly 10 years ago with Mercedes-Benz. Now, there are elements of this Forbes article that very much feel like the Saints are already just starting to really promote themselves and the Superdome, but I'm not mad at it, and I think that it's really, really interesting and really encouraging what some of the very innovative and impactful ideas they have for their next partnership. So we'll see exactly who it is that jumps at the opportunity to hold naming rights at one of the NFL's most popular venues, most notable venues, and one of the most loved venues within its own particular region and beyond, to be completely honest. So a lot of companies, I'm sure, are going to be vying for an opportunity here to replace that Mercedes-Benz lettering and insignia that dress the Superdome. So just for fun, I went ahead and I threw together three just fun names that could potentially end up taking over naming rights for the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, one of my favorite places that unfortunately has sort of seen maybe the end of its time as I knew it. And so maybe I want to see a little bit of a comeback here. You've got a couple places like Del Champs and, of course, you know, more local spots, but one of my favorites used to be Danny and Clyde. So the good Danny and Clyde Superdome, a little bit of a comeback for them would be super dope. You got to give Morris Bart an opportunity here to have the Morris Bart Superdome. Why not? His face is literally everywhere else. Might as well throw it on the Superdome. And of course, and this is one that I should give a little bit of credit to the Canal Street Chronicles group chat, because this really came out of conversation with them. We talked about the Popeyes Superdome. My preference is the Popeyes Chicken Sandwich Superdome specifically. The Popeyes Chicken Sandwich Superdome, not just the Popeyes Superdome. Like, really, really give the shine to the real celebrity here being the chicken sandwich. There's a couple other places too. So if you have any fun ideas, go ahead and hit me up on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A, or you can, of course, drop them in the Locked On Saints Facebook group. But have a little bit of fun. Let me know what you think the next naming rights organization, or rather company, should be for the upcoming nameless. Let's go back right now for a little bit, at least, to the New Orleans Superdome. We can call it the Mercedes-Benz Superdome for a little bit longer, I guess. But I'm still mad at them for going over to Atlanta like they did. So, but maybe that's just me. All right, y'all, coming up next, we're going to continue to talk about facilities here, because NFL facilities have reopened as early as today. They have the option to reopen in most places, right? In most places, not every place in the United States has access. But for the most part, you'll see the majority of facilities have the option to reopen today. And we also got big news from two cornerstones within the country that aren't allowed to reopen yet, but with plans to reopen in the very near future. We'll talk about that and give you some good news about the return of sports coming up next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Before we get to some good news about the return of sports, let me give you some good news about the return of protein bars, because the protein bar game has changed thanks to Built Bar. And the reason why I say that they're changed is because, look, protein bars are a quick and convenient, easy, and can be very healthy way to sustain yourself throughout a day, whether you need a meal replacement or you just need a quick snack or you're finishing up a workout or about to start a workout, whatever you need. But Built Bar is the absolute way to go, because usually you kind of have to power through those thick, chunky, chalky, gross protein bars that make you feel like you've had an entire hamburger, which kind of defeats the purpose in the first place. But Built Bars are simply built better than that. And you can check them out at builtbar.com. They've got 16 incredible flavors and a couple of new flavors as well. And here's the thing about them is that they taste like candy bars. They're light, they're easy to eat, and they are enjoyable while also giving you between 15 to 20 grams of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, fantastic for your macros, everything that you need. Check them out, builtbar.com. Build your own box with whatever flavors you like. And just be sure to use the promo code LOCKEDON, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, all one word at checkout for $10 off of your first order at builtbar.com. Again, that's Locked On, promo code Locked On for $10 off at builtbar.com. All right, Huda Nation, continuing on here on Locked On Saints, wanted to give you some good news about the return of sports. So today, May 19th, this Tuesday, is the day that the NFL sent out a press release and mentioned, or rather mentioned in the press release that they sent out, is the day that is sort of the earliest that NFL facilities can begin to reopen. Now, of course, that is completely based upon the statutes of each individual team's state. And so some states, including Texas, California, New York, New Jersey, anything really up in that Northeast area as well, a little bit of trouble in terms of getting their facilities open at this time with the lockdowns that are instituted, quarantines that are instituted, things like that. However, I think it's about 22 of 32 different facilities can open up as early as today. And in fact, we already know that Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have already begun meeting at the facility. Tom Brady's working out with some of his guys. They're already underway. So that does give some teams a little bit of an edge because it gives them an opportunity to get out there as early as now and then begin sort of some voluntary training activities, a little bit more off-season training activities. Now, this matters because for the Saints, we know that they're not going to be jumping in until July. They're not interested. Sean Payton has even already addressed the fact that even if they say, hey, you can get together for a 3-day mini camp, if it's not July, he ain't showing up and he's not bringing in his team. Now, you might see, you know, guys like Drew Brees and some of the other guys organizing some 7-on-7s, organizing some workouts with one another, things like that. That may happen over on the side. But in terms of anything official taking place at the New Orleans Saints training facility, I wouldn't anticipate anything until training camp proper in July, as Sean Payton mentioned. But here's some good news just in terms of the general feel for what the return of sports is going to look like. And for people that are very interested in getting sports back as quickly as possible, raising my hand, I'm one of them. One of the more substantial things that's happened over the last couple of days are announcements from individual cornerstones within the country. And what I mean by that is that larger populations that have been hit pretty ferociously by this COVID-19 virus. Now, we heard Governor Cuomo from over at New York already talking about the idea of sports returning with no fans and things like that. But now we've also heard it from the governor of Texas, as well as Governor Newsom over in California, all talking about the idea of an end of May when it comes to Texas. They're saying May 31st. And then when it came to California, Governor Newsom gave a very loose first week of June or so type of an answer. But even still, that first week of June looks like about the time that California's sports teams may be able to get back to action without fans. You're talking about the end of May for Texas sports teams. And that's huge because Texas and California carry an exorbitant amount of professional sports teams. In just the NFL, of course, you see Texas with two in the Cowboys as well as the Texans. And then in California, when it comes to the NFL, you see both of the Los Angeles teams as well as San Francisco. And I don't actually know if Las Vegas is doing their training camp in Las Vegas or if they're still doing that in the Bay Area at, you know, some location. So it'd be interesting to see exactly what's going on with the Raiders. But even still, that's five teams alone out of there. It's more than a division of football that is just in those two states in just the NFL. You're not also thinking about, you know, the fact that LA has two basketball teams, as well as the Sacramento Kings, as well as the Golden State Warriors. They've got four basketball teams over there. You know, all of the hockey teams, all of the soccer teams, the baseball teams. So there's all of this all over the place for both of these states. So this is huge when you talk about both of these states in Texas and California, as well as New York as well, saying that we do plan to have sports back soon. And again, for Texas, May 31st, for California, the first week of June or so. This is really, really good news for Saints fans. This is really, really good news for California sports fans, Texas sports fans, New York sports fans, and sports fans for all over the world, because this begins to enter the time to where we begin to see what it is that sports looks like as it returns back to our lives, honestly, at a live, it's happening right now type of a pace, as opposed to the hyperbolic or rather hypothetical conversations of the past when it comes to The Last Dance, which was incredible to have over the last few weeks, or things that continue to be hypothetical like the NFL draft and free agency, to where all we could do is talk about how it might pan out. Now we're getting closer and closer and closer to watching it pan out right before our eyes. So this is huge news for sports fans all over the world, as major cornerstones within the United States and within the sports world have now announced when they plan to have sports back. Now, again, this is without fans, right? So even if basketball starts to make a comeback, or if, you know, some other leagues start to make a comeback, baseball begins, you know, its first pitch or anything like that, you'll see them without fans for certain, and all of the different types of potential safety protocols for COVID-19 and everything that need to be there, the essential things that need to be there. They're even talking about potentially building in face masks for NFL players within their helmets, which I think you're going to get a lot of pushback from when it comes to NFL players who already don't like to wear newly innovated helmets in the first place. Now you're going to throw a face mask in there. But again, these are necessary precautions that are worth having conversations about, even if they don't pan out. So again, this is all very, very, very good news for sports fans all over the world as these large markets begin to reopen their facilities and talk about when they're going to completely reopen and be ready to move forward with sports, even without an audience. Good news all around. So thought it would be fun to kind of get on a little bit of a high note here and talk a little bit about that return to sports and all the good news that circulates that. But we're not done with the good news. Got more good news coming up for you here because we're going to jump into your questions from Twitter here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Who Dat Nation, wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with your questions from Twitter. Real quick, before we get to that, I want to drop just a little bit of news here. You know, Michael Thomas has been making headlines recently because of all of his sort of, you know, really giving Devontae Parker some work over on Instagram, calling him weak, but also all of the other things that he's sort of been going through. I know Nick Underhill was under some fire for some comments that he made about Michael Thomas having the same type of dry as Michael Jordan, which I completely agree with, by the way, so on and so forth. Been a little bit incendiary, the topic of Michael Thomas, but some good news and some nice news here coming from Luke Johnson at By Luke Johnson. You can follow him on Twitter as well as check out all of his work at The Advocate, Times-Picayune. He says, per news release, Michael Thomas is teaming up with Raising Cane's to deliver 3,000 meals to frontline medical workers in New Orleans. So there he is doing something great, as always. It's what he does, but doing something great for the city of New Orleans and the frontline medical workers that are out there busting their butts, which, by the way, if any frontline medical workers happen to be listening to this podcast, I know you're busy, so I appreciate you for tuning in. And I hope that I can provide some semblance of normalcy and some distraction to your day. But thank you, thank you, thank you. And all the essential workers out there too, whether you're at grocery stores, you're at GameStop, which is apparently also essential, all the other things that you guys do. Thank you very much for all of your hard work and for making it possible for us to navigate this time, which is a weird, wild, and wacky time, to be certain. So let's go ahead and jump into our questions now from Twitter. You've waited long enough. Just three questions really quick. So we'll start off with Saints King 1996 on Twitter. Timbo Slice, good friend of mine. He asks, what expectations should we be betting for in this world of uncertainty in the COVID-19? So the thing that I look at here is basically what I just talked about in the last segment, is that you're looking for sports to return first without any fans. That's the first thing that you should expect. And potentially you'll get to a place to where maybe you see fans start to trickle in and it's 25% capacity and holding on to, COVID protocol rules, social distancing rules, things like that, which everyone should be doing anyway, regardless of whether or not your city is open or not, or your state is open or not, confined to those rules, because that is very important and it keeps other people safe. You'll probably see people wearing masks, things like that. People probably optionally wearing gloves as well. But that's kind of what I would expect to see to open everything up, is no fans to start, and then eventually you'll see fans start to trickle in. And ideally, by the time that we get toward the end or the middle of this season, then, or rather the end of this year, and so into the end of the season, actually, we start to see a little bit more stuff about, you know, antibodies and vaccines and things like that, which is when, once there's sort of widespread vaccines available, is when you'll see things back to normal, but don't expect normal for quite a while, is what is sort of the way that I'm looking at it. Next up, we have a question from Andrew at Nolalati, who asks, how many catches does Emmanuel Sanders have this year? Is he a true number two that takes some pressure off of Michael Thomas, or is he filling more of the Ted Ginn, Devery Henderson deep threat role? If he's filling in the Ted Ginn, Devery Henderson deep threat role, he's not here for the right reason. I will say that. I think that he is more of a true number two, another possession receiver that can be effective in the short and intermediate area. He could be somebody that's going to, you know, line up 2 yards off the line of scrimmage. Therefore, he's not going to face any type of press coverage in that way. And he's going to be able to take advantage of DBs just like that. So it's going to be a little bit tougher now, shading coverages over to Michael Thomas. And because of that, it's going to allow Michael Thomas to eat a little bit more. And it's also going to allow Emmanuel Sanders to get his work in as well, because when they do focus a lot on Michael Thomas, Drew Brees can just look to the other side of the field. So my prediction when it comes to Emmanuel Sanders is somewhere between 50 to 60 65 catches and around 500 to 650 yards. You can go up to 700. 100 yards as well. He's probably going to average a little bit more than 10 yards per catch, but that's kind of the sort of medium in terms of an expectation. That's kind of where I'm putting him, which is much, much, much better than anything that the Saints have seen from their number two receiver. Usually their second leading receiver on the team has been either Alvin Kamara with 81 catches over the last three seasons or a tight end before that. So this is really, really solid for the Saints. And I think just that level of production when they're coming off of a season to where Ted Ginn Jr. had 30 catches for 420 something yards or 400 some odd yards. If you can get 50 to 60 catches out of a guy opposite Michael Thomas for somewhere between 500 and 700 yards, that's a big, big, big boost for this offense. Now, some of that target share will have to come from someone else, very likely from Michael Thomas, who I don't expect to reset the record that he set in catches last season. But I do think that he sees a little bit of a more relaxed and understandable workload with Emmanuel Sanders in the building. Again, nothing bad about that. In fact, I think that that ends up benefiting the Saints in this season. And finally, our last question comes from CaliCajun67, Craig Wright, who asks, any chance that Troutman beats out Josh Hill for the number two tight end position? Yes, there is a chance, but the thing that I caution people about is that these guys are going to serve potentially very different roles when they come in. Josh Hill's a little bit more of the blocker, I mean, but you see him catch a couple of passes, particularly they like to run tight end screens to him, but you're going to see Adam Troutman be a little bit more somebody that's groomed in the ilk or the vein of Jared Cook, who can be a downfield receiving threat, somebody that's a threat down the seams, which is where they really like to throw to tight ends, but can also be an efficient blocker as well. So is there the chance that he beats out Josh Hill in terms of being next on the wide receiver chart? I'm sorry, next on the wide receiver chart, being next on the tight end chart to where you see him more often than Josh Hill? Yes, but does he take Josh Hill's role? Not necessarily, because Josh Hill serves a very different role than what I imagine Adam Troutman's role will be with the Saints. I hope that makes sense. So you might see Adam Troutman more than you see Josh Hill at a certain point in the season if he comes on and does something that most rookie tight ends don't do and adjust very quickly to the next level of the game, which can certainly be done in this offense in particular. So you might see him more often, but again, their roles, I believe, are going to be very, very different. Adam Troutman will carve his own path that is a little bit more in the vein of Jared Cook, I believe, to take over for Jared Cook whenever, whether it's after this season when Jared Cook's contract expires, or if he returns, comes back for another season or so, whenever Jared Cook is no longer a Saint, Adam Troutman has the potential to develop and plug into that role as opposed to Josh Hill's. So, all right, y'all, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Saints. I thank you, as always, for your fantastic questions, for taking the time to come out for that. On tomorrow's episode, we'll dive a little bit more into position groups that the Saints will face. We'll eventually also begin our position-by-position roster review. We'll make sure that we say the name of all 90 players on this roster, just like we did last offseason. That was a lot of fun. We'll do it again before training camp begins. And we have a lot more coming up here at the Locked On Podcast Network as well. So some exciting stuff on the way. I thank you very much, as always, for coming through. Once again, do not forget to check out Built Bar, builtbar.com. Use the promo code Locked On to get $10 off of your first box. And now that you're done here, go check out Trevor and Ben over at the Locked On Draft Podcast. Just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NFL Draft. Thank you so much, everybody, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Hootat Nation. I'll holla at you.